The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fellow fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and it's the weekend, so I'm back. As always, I'll be taking over for Bubba as the host of the weekend editions of the podcast. You can follow me at Jake Crumpler on Twitter and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball-related from Friday, March 22nd. I'll apologize right off the bat. I'm currently recovering from a bout with COVID, so I apologize for any nasally sounding discussion coming from me. But we'll start it off, as always, talking about the transactions, injuries, news, and notes from across spring training from Friday. Teams are currently finalizing their opening day rosters right now, so we've got plenty of news regarding that. We'll start off with Sonny Gray, whose return to the mound was delayed due to a forecast of heavy rain. He is currently healing from a strained hamstring, and that delay means Gray will begin the season on the injured list. He'll miss the first two turns through the rotation, but he should return in mid-April. Zach Thompson will make the rotation as a result. Michael Lorenzen signed with the Rangers and will be immediately thrust into the rotation. He'll likely need some time to build up, which means Cody Bradford should get a start or two to begin the year, but the club made it clear they expect Lorenzen to take over at some point in April. The Tigers surprisingly optioned Matt Manning to the minors. That means Casey Mize and Reese Olson will claim the final two spots in the Detroit rotation to begin the year. We will definitely see Manning at some point, though. Carlos Carrasco, Tyler Beede, Brian Rocchio, Tyler Freeman, David Fry, and Gabriel Arias have made the Guardians opening day roster. Rocchio will be the team's primary shortstop. And it seems Will Brennan, Rule 5 pick Davison De Los Santos, and trade acquisition Esteban Florial will be fighting for the final spot. The team optioned Chase DeLauder, which means he won't be in competition for that final spot. Eric Swanson played catch on Friday, and Jordan Romano is expected to throw today. The Blue Jays are expected to make a decision regarding their late inning relief duo's availability for opening day by the end of this weekend. Anthony Rizzo was scratched from the lineup with a tight lat, but is fully confident he'll be ready for opening day. Patrick Wisdom will start the year on the injured list as he deals with a back injury. That could mean Garrett Cooper has an inside track to the final bench spot. In other Cubs news, Jameson Taillon will be out until at least mid-April with a back injury. He threw a bullpen session yesterday, but will need time to build back up. Javier Assad is likely to be the number 5 starter to begin the season for the Cubs. I wouldn't say he's a fantasy target at this moment, but we saw last year that he can get into a groove and can be considered a Vargas role at some point, but I don't find that to be very likely. And what was probably the biggest news of the day, Jackson Holliday was reassigned to minor league camp, which means he won't make the opening day roster. It's very disappointing, as Jackson Holliday batted very well this spring, batting over 300 with a couple of home runs, and he is the major league's top prospect. But I wouldn't fret, because I expect, or maybe I just hope, that he'll be up by the end of April. The team also optioned a bunch of other top prospects: Heston Kjerstad, Kyle Stowers, Kobe Mayo, Connor Norby, and Albert Suarez. There's just so much talent in Baltimore. I'm sure all of these guys will get their shot at some point. Suarez is a very interesting one, as he made a name for himself this spring after pitching overseas, and could be an option at some point with both Kyle Bradish and John Means currently dealing with injuries. There's not a lot of depth to the Baltimore rotation right now, so Suarez could be an option at some point early in the season. On the bright side, though, sort of in contrast with the Jackson Holliday news, Rangers manager Bruce Bochy said Wyatt Langford will make the opening day roster. The sky is the limit for the 2023 first round pick. Wyatt Langford has been on fire this spring, crushing balls over the fences and making the Rangers look like geniuses for selecting him in the first round. I'm excited to see where they bat him in the lineup. I was talking about this with my brother, and I sort of expect Langford to be in that top five with Seager, Semien, Odolis Garcia, and Evan Carter around him, but we'll see where they ultimately have him in the lineup. Nonetheless, he's on the team regardless, so I'm excited to see what Langford can do this year. In sweet and sour news, Eury Pérez will begin the season on the injured list. However, surgery has not been recommended. We were all sort of wondering what was going to happen with Pérez after we heard the diagnosis of his elbow injury. And while it sucks that he's going to begin the season on the injured list, at least we know for now that he's not undergoing Tommy John surgery, so we could see him at some point. The team said he might play catch at some point this weekend, at which point the Marlins will see how he responds, and then they'll go from there. I don't really expect we'll see Pérez pitch in the majors until June at the earliest, as they sort of take it slow with him because they don't want to push him too hard and make the injury worse. But June would be a best case scenario in my mind, because there was a time when we thought he might not even be pitching at all this year. The Brewers optioned Aaron Ashby and Joey Weimer to the minors. Ashby will be up at some point given the Brewers' current rotation options, while Weimer was a key component of the outfield last year, so he won't be down for too long. I loved Ashby a couple years ago, so I'm really excited to see him back on the mound this year, and I hope he still displays the elite stuff that got me super excited a couple of years ago. Eduardo Rodriguez will begin the season on the injured list with a left lat strain. He'll be shut down until he's asymptomatic, so the current timeline for his return is pretty vague. The Diamondbacks are currently in a situation where they don't want to rush Rodriguez, as he was one of their biggest signings this offseason, but this injury isn't super significant, so I don't expect him to be out for super long. It'll probably be a situation where he doesn't throw for a couple weeks and then he has to build back up. So I'd expect to see him back on a major league mound by the end of April. Tommy Henry will claim the final rotation spot in his absence, and Ryan Nelson is confirmed to have made the opening day rotation. In other Orioles news, the general manager of the team, Mike Elias, suggested both Kyle Bradish and John Means are expected to pitch early in the first half of the season. That's great news considering our concerns when news of Bradish's injury first surfaced. It seemed as though Bradish might be out for the entire year, and thus his ADP fell like a rock, but maybe it'll start climbing back up again, as we know Bradish will be back at some point this year. Hopefully he doesn't encounter any setbacks, but the Orioles will be counting on Bradish, as, like I said earlier, their rotation does not have a ton of depth, and he was their best pitcher last year, and they were really hoping to combine him and Burns atop that rotation. John Means is also a great pitcher to watch, and I'm excited to see him back on the mound. And lastly, Sixto Sanchez has made the opening day roster for the Marlins. What year is it? It feels like this is news that you would see when Sixto Sanchez was coming up as a prospect, but it's exciting to see him back on the mound after dealing with so much over the past few years. He'll likely pitch out of the bullpen, but the team is currently without a fifth starter due to a slew of injuries to the rotation, so we could see Sixto in a bulk relief role early in the year as they look to figure things out until Edward Cabrera is able to make it back to the mound. And now with all the news and transactions out of the way, we're going to take a quick break.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley, in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
And we're back here on the First Pitch Podcast. My name is Jake Crumpler. We'll now move forward with talking about some of the notable performances from spring training on Friday. We'll start it off with Matt Chapman, who hit his second home run of the spring as he looks to get comfortable in orange and black. He was signed just a few weeks ago by the Giants, And Chapman is a great option late in drafts for cheap power, as he severely underperformed in the home run department in 2023. And that was despite touting one of the league's best barrel rates. Third base is a position I've been targeting late in drafts because there are so many fun options. Cabrian Hayes, Jake Berger, everyone's favorite, Mikel Garcia. But Chapman is also there in case I miss out on getting a corner infielder or a utility bat or a bench bat. I think Chapman's a great option because he's going to perform much better than he did last year. He really had one of the best barrel rates in baseball last year. It was over 15%, and he hit just 17 home runs last year. I expect him to hit 25 to 30 home runs in his first year in San Francisco. Seiya Suzuki continued his monster spring with two hits, which included a long ball. He's now batting .469 with four dingers and two steals in spring. And after slow starts in each of the past two seasons, maybe this electric spring will have Suzuki mashing right out of the gates. It's been concerning the past couple of years. The first year, where it was sort of expected as he was getting used to playing in the States after coming over from Japan, and then last year dealing with injuries and all sorts of stuff. But in the second half of last year, he was one of the best hitters in baseball, and I'm hoping he can carry that over for a full season. I think he's an exciting breakout pick this year, and you don't have to pay too much in drafts. He's going in the early hundreds in ADP right now, and he is a guy I would target as a third outfielder in five outfielder leagues, or a third outfielder in three outfielder leagues. But Seiya Suzuki's super exciting, and I'd love to see him get going right off the bat. And lastly, we have Jorge Polanco, as he's quickly endearing himself to Mariners fans, as Polanco hit his third home run of the spring and boosted his batting average to .444. Polanco is going relatively late in drafts. I've noticed that going through my drafts. He's a guy that sometimes doesn't get picked in 12-team leagues, despite having a history of being a solid fantasy contributor. But it makes sense after he dealt with a lot of injuries and underperformance in 2023. But with this new lease on life in Seattle, he looks to be getting his bat back on track. This is a guy that I think could bat .260 with 25 home runs in the middle of a pretty solid lineup in Seattle. He's going to be playing every day. So I'm excited to see what Polanco can do. And hopefully this hot start in spring training is suggestive of what we can expect during the season. And if you're looking for starting pitching highlights, make sure to go check out the Plus Pitch podcast hosted by Nick Pollock, as he provides updates on all the important information and highlights from the world of pitching. Also, make sure to read the daily SP roundup to get you caught up on every single start from Friday. That's been a part of my routine that I'm trying to get into, so I can make sure to keep doing that throughout the year. It's really the best way to not only keep up with everything that's happening in terms of starting pitching. There's so much every single day, but it makes it so much easier to win your fantasy leagues when you know who to stream, who to drop, who to pick up. It's the best way that you can set yourself up to win your fantasy baseball leagues. But that'll do it for this episode of the First Pitch podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherless.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Join PL Pro to gain access to the Discord to interact with Pitcherless staff and members of the community, as well as to utilize the in-season tools to help you win your leagues. That'll wrap up this episode of the podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Jake Crumpler. Tune in tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast. And make sure to enjoy the day, as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at Ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.